The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all.
There is another report I want to present here. And this is, let me see if I can give you all the information I can get here on this. Let's skip that. Right, hit that. And, okay, hold on here. Okay. This is an RT interview with Duarte. He talks to RT about China. Something else. People in this country complaining about this love affair that Donald Trump has with Putin. Vladimir Putin won't denounce him. He is doing the same thing with the Philippines as he's doing for Syria and Assad. Well, we're not going to sell the Philippines any more weapons because they're declaring war on the drug lords. And understand this. This ISIS, it is real. It's not the Islamic State. People will have this tendency to, just like I've witnessed every other talk show host in this country, be they on the alternative media or with the controlled media, ooh, it's these evil Muslims. It is the people that are being inserted that are actual ISIS operatives under the cover of, well, this transmigration of these evil Islamists. What happened when Donald Trump says, you know, we've got to vet people, especially in the terrorist countries, we've got to vet them? Why did he get so much backlash against that? Did you recognize some of the very same procedures that are being used on Duarte as being used on Donald Trump inside our own country, ladies and gentlemen? This is an all-or-nothing game. And they're being exposed. And the deep state, which I will say once again, and understand this, I don't give a damn if he comes from a Pentagon and he's got a uniform on, or he's from one of these intelligence agencies in this country that are, oh, well, we're here to protect people. No, these are the very people that are endangering this country. The very people. CIA has been into regime change for more than a half a century. Why do you think that John F. Kennedy said that, look, I'm going to spread the CIA to the four winds in my next presidency? The next presidency he never saw. He was also hip to the Federal Reserve, wanted to get rid of them as well. Of course you're going to splatter this guy's brains out in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. up the side of the pyramid in full view of the reflecting pool. Yeah, we know. This is the interview with RT. And again, Duarte, he pulls no punches. He reminds me a lot of Donald Trump. He says what's on his mind. The only thing that Donald Trump doesn't do is use expletives now and again. This Duarte doesn't care because he understands the death and the mayhem. Here is that interview. And then we're going to do a couple of takes here on some of the brighter people that are covering the situation in this country, in the inner cities, and the drug running going on as well. Get their take on it. As I said, folks, I'm not a cut-and-paste guy. I'm not going to sit back here and lead you to believe that I'm going to view all this information, take the excerpts out of it, and try to make it my own. I am not that petty. And coming from the mouths of the people that are speaking the words is much better. Much, much better. Could I do that and pull it off? I see people doing it all the time. I will not. Trying to be as truthful and as honest and non-hypocritical as humanly possible here. Here's the interview.
It has been almost a year since your inauguration. Have you faced anything that you were not expecting when you took office?
I've been a politician for almost 40 years, excluding the term now. So I would say that on the national front, I was kept informed all the time by the news and, of course, by sources in government. But I never realized the magnitude of the contamination of the Filipinos insofar as drugs are concerned.
So we hear that 4 million people.
Yeah, right? It used to be just a problem there. Problem. I thought that it was just like Davao. I may have one case now, then probably two. But it was a very constant happening every time. When I became president and everything was available to me for information, I was almost appalled to know that we have reached the millions of contaminated. So when I was mayor, I said, do not destroy my city. And do not destroy the young people of Davao City because they are our assets. We are not rich. Most of us are poor. And we depend on our sons and daughters to feed us when we get. We are not the rich people. We do not have any housing here for few in between. And we need our children to buy the medicines, pay the hospitals, pay our burial, and do not corrupt them with drugs. Do not destroy their minds. And I said, because I will kill you. And I've been very clear with that. Do not destroy my country. Do not destroy our young people. Because if you do that, I will kill you. There are so many criminals walking around. Stop it, and I said. I am not a wholesale violator of human rights. I am not the police. I just give orders. But I build a country. But anything that would destroy my country is totally unacceptable to me. My orders were very clear. Go out and hunt for them, the drug lords. Arrest them if it's still possible. But if they are confronted with the violence that would place your life, the policeman or the security officer, in danger, submit, kill them. Because in the past, that was what really prevented policemen and the military from doing it. Why? because of they were so afraid of this human rights thing, which is a new phenomenon. It's actually the human rights in the guise of human rights. Countries like EU and America are interfering into the affairs of other nations in the guise of human rights.
The bitter irony is that while trying to protect civilians, to protect the youth, you sometimes, and you admitted that in one of your interviews, that innocent civilians could have become victims. Do you think it is a fair price to pay?
Just like in the Americans, when they drop a bomb there, so much, so powerful that it also kills other civilians.
But you are not America. Do you feel sorry for...
But we are talking of human liability. So it doesn't say that because they're Americans are exempted, and that's because I am just a small time government official, I am not exempted. So what's the fairness there? No? When they drop bombs, they kill so many villages, and there's not even a whimper. America invaded Iraq. What was the excuse? That there were weapons of mass destruction. And yet when they invaded Iraq, so many people were killed. So where is justice now?
So I think it's really hard to avoid
civilian. It meaning to say justice has to be equal. It cannot be a justice for one and justice for another set of standards for two. It has to.
Wow.
Hey, buddy, hey, hold up. You ain't gonna need...
Yeah, I'll skip it right here, Mike.
Set of standards for two. It has to be equal.
Is that the reason why you turn away from America?
Yes, because they refused to understand my predicament when they knew that they were also in the same predicament on a larger scale. I never in America was. Remember Panama? Okay. They invaded Panama, a sovereign state. Okay, in Central America. So what was the purpose there? They went inside, seized the country, arrested the president, brought him outside the country, placed him in a detention cell in New York. He faced a trial in federal court. And is convicted. What happened to the invasion? And what was the reason? Drugs. You invade a country. Me, I am just fighting the criminals in my country. I never invaded a country. You have to look at it this way. There is so much incongruity in the principles that are being followed by nations. The powerful ones, they can invent this weapon of mass destruction. Oh, we can invade your country. Me, I never touch anybody. I do not even go to the United States. And then they criticize me for the criminals that I have killed.
Your relations with the previous U.S. administration were far from perfect. Will you give Trump's administration a chance?
I think that Trump is very good. He's a regular guy. He's pragmatic, very practical. The previous administration was a source of irritation and a source of so many conflicts, not really in terms of war, but in terms of relationships. The other administration destroyed all of this, the goodwill and even relationships with Russia and relationships with the Philippines. And it's not an easy job to be just, when there's a new guy in town, you just say everything is forgotten. They have the Congress that is not in full accord with the U.S. president. And they're still fighting right now, threatening even to impeach President Trump. America is a hard act to follow. Sometimes you are in good terms. For example, Trump, he says that he agrees with me. And he thinks that I'm doing it the right way. And even he, about 2 weeks ago, announced that he's going to get tough against the drug lords and everybody who is into drugs. You could almost find the similar words between my mouth and Trump's mouth. But you know, those things that we ordered and those things that we expect to be delivered is being hampered because it is equally, the powers of the president is subject also to the checks and balances of Congress. And sometimes he is paralyzed. He himself now even finds himself maybe not really in big trouble, but in trouble. I have nothing against America. We're perfectly all right. Trump is my friend. But my foreign policy has shifted from what of that pro-Western. I now have this working alliance with China, and I hope to establish a good working relations with Russia. Why? Because Western world, EU and everything, they have this double talk.
Do you think your society will support this idea? Because there are intensive ties within the society with America, historically. Do you think you will have support of the people?
If there is anything to gripe for, it is me griping for. Why did you invade my country 50 years ago? Sat on this land and live up with the fat of the land? And you expect me to be happy?
You are so angry. I can feel it.
Yeah. You treat me as if I am your colony still? You must be kidding. Why would I allow it? Why would I allow you to treat me as if I am your representative here as a colonial governor? We are an independent country. We will survive. We will endure. We can go hungry. But this time, I want my country treated with dignity.
So you once said that you don't want America in your country. So you were serious.
Yes, I said no. I said American troops. That one day during my term, if I survive the CIA, oh no. I survive the CIA, I have stayed 5 years.
You talk a lot about assassination. Do you really expect that to happen?
They do it. Does it surprise you?
Are you worrying?
They can,
are you afraid of your life?
They can even pluck the president out of his country and force him to face trial in another country.
What should happen so that it improves? Are you waiting? Are you waiting for an apology? Will it work?
No. That's not. I don't want that thing to happen.
So what may
help? It's enough that I respect Trump. He's a friend, and he is welcome to come here on November. But if I'm talking about arms, if I'm talking about mutual defense regarding ISIS, I'd rather, in my preliminary talks with President Putin, I got a favorable response. I hope we can convert it to something substantial. Because it is only Russia and China who can be relied with their words. America is double talk. Yeah, the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. Because I said the arms are suspended and the Senate has not really agreed, or they're still debating on it, whether to give us the arms or not. My country is fighting terrorism. How long can I wait? Until such time that we are on bended knees? It might be too late. For after all, if I do not act now, and so with the drug problem, if my country collapses, who will bring it back? the United States. Russia sells arms. He does not impose the, she does not impose any conditions. When Russia sells the arms, he sells the arms. You need it, I will give it to you. That's a known fact. You do not attach conditions. A straight negotiation, if you're ready to help, we'll say, okay, we'll help, we'll give you this. And can you do that with America? No. Because the president says he will give you, and the State Department said no. And then as Congress, we said, no, he's a human rights violator, so we keep a distance. And then, if that is the case, so be it. I will not hunker for it on bended knees. I will not ask for mercy for that alone.
China.
Yes.
Your relations with China are a little bit warmer than compared to your predecessor, and actually warmer than it was expected.
Yes.
We didn't see you ride into the islands in the China South Sea with Filipino flag to put it there, as was promised. Is that just tactic, or you changed the strategy?
Yeah. When it is so ridiculous, it must be a joke. I'm fond of using jokes here, that I brought that practice also nationwide. That's why I would ride on a jet ski. Why would I ride on a jet ski? I would ride on a boat of the Navy if I want to go there. What's imagine riding with a gun at your pinned in the under your armpit, and you ride the motor there.
But you didn't go there on a boat either. Instead, you went to China.
I was about to go there, but China said, "Can you please avoid it at this time? Because it might give the wrong impression, and every head of state who's claiming that the vast sea there as theirs would also go there." And out of respect of my friendship with China, I said, okay.
So
but that thing about, forget it, do not.
Okay.
Erase it from your mind. It's all joke. I said, if I go there as president, I will ride on a Navy.
I understand. Of course, it was a joke, but it showed what kind of policy you are going to conduct towards China, and people expected some tough policy.
What people?
Do you expect me to fight China? And what? Do I have the cruise missiles to hit them? Do I have the missiles to launch from this? So what will happen? It's going to be a massacre. Never mind about the insistence of the arbitrage. At the end of the day, it is this. It is say you say it is yours, and I say it is mine. And okay, the other guy at the bargaining table will say, okay, it is yours. And so, what now? Do I look stupid? We can talk about it later on. But not now, because everybody is grabbing a piece of the property. Maybe when the time comes and everything is quiet and it's conducive to talks. And they said that they mentioned about joint venture and mm-hmm. But not now. No hard sell now. I realize that and because sometimes of the high-handedness of America in treating its friends as if we are not friends. So I decided that I will craft an independent foreign policy that would allow me to interact with China and the rest of the world and in Europe to reach out for new markets. Problem now is events just like any other places, especially in the Middle East. The radicalism, the extremism has overtaken us. Just like in the Middle East, it used to be a problem of Iraq, and the United States went there to declare war for no reason at all, except the weapons of mass destruction were there, then undermined Libya, and you have this problem now. So, and the usual entities of talking about peace has been overtaken by the extremism now prevailing in the world. Same thing here. The ISIS has established a base in my country and down south, and we are fighting terrorism, just like any country. And we need the arms. And suddenly, two senators of the U.S. Congress said that they will not proceed with the exportation of selling the firearms. And I said, no problem. I can always go to China, to Russia, to plead my case. And I said, you would understand, because they are also suffering from terrorism. They are talking of a worldwide problem. Why can't Trump just be open and just to tell his counterpart, President Putin, that, hey, guys, we have the same problem, so what's your strategy there? How could it affect your national security, by the way? Tell me.
So what about ISIS? Do you think ISIS militants here in the Philippines, they're homegrown or they were kind of imported?
There are so many Caucasians looking. Mm-hmm. We have captured or killed about six already. And they are from the Middle East mostly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And yeah, how are you going to fight the terrorists in this task that so many countries actually fail to deal with?
Well, not really fail, but put it under control.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state of the mind which cannot be erased easily. In every generation, there is always a serious problem to solve. And so you have to be serious about it. And sometimes, not go beyond, but in excess of what is really called for. Because you want an assurance that your country is safe. If you have to kill an extra guy to make it more safer, then do it. My God, do it. And if they put 100 more killed and 100 more safer, if you are a leader and you don't know how to solve it, you must be, you do not deserve, I should not be serving. Maybe what I can really say is that I do not need the presidency at this time of my life. I'm 72 years old. As president, I have to preserve and defend the Filipino nation. And I will exactly do it. Whatever be the price, whatever be the cost, it's my solemn duty to see to it that my country is really what it should be, a peaceful and comfortable place to live in.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
2 years ago, you shocked the media, revealing that you had been molested by a priest when you were 14 or 15 years old. And then later you even identified that priest.
Yes.
He was an American national.
Correct. Not only I, the whole class. Two generations up and two generations down. All of us.
You were 70 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. Why would you make that confession like more than 50 years later?
The abuses of the priest are being filmed everywhere. There was an Italian underground film, and I am sure you saw that, a priest running naked over there. And they don't really bother to investigate. There is no condemnation, nothing. The shoulder of the priest and the religious people doing the shinigas, well, it is as if it's just a part of the show of the night. Is it liberality? Is it because you do not want to condemn your own countrymen? Or is it because the victims were just natives? Never mind about them. We were considered natives.
So
and sometimes pictured as apes.
Was that important for you that he was an American?
Oh, I don't know. I brought it for the first time.
Yeah.
Because I called all the bishops stupid. And they are really stupid. You know that? Because there is a book here which also exposes their shinigans and their, it's called Altar of Secrets. And may I have a copy? I'll give you one.
Okay.
It was wrote by a narrator of the Bishop's Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And
She just got a
Hatch
copy.
Our secrets. Mm-hmm.
Give it to you. Read it, and you will understand how the
Thank you.
Catholic Church has corrupted this country. Oh, by the way, I believe in God. I really believe in God. I put my destiny in the hands of God. But priests...
Wow. I'm doing this because I want this in full view of everybody, so everybody can track and trace exactly what's going on in the Philippines, what has happened with so many countries around the world, and this humanitarian effort. By the way, Duterte said, you know, hey, UN? No, Philippines is leaving the UN. Just as he called out the EU as being a Western power, which it is, which ironically we all share this big brotherhood of going against terrorism, when in fact that terrorism is coming out of Israel, it is coming out of the United States, it is coming out from other actors and other players that are being paid well. But this whole thing of terrorism, their self-proclaimed endless war, this war will never end against terrorism. As long as you have the funny money people, as long as you have their base for power intact, as long as you have the corrupt people leading the country with the deep state and their respective countries running the show. This is why it seems so duplicitous to foreigners all over the world of what the United States is doing. They say one thing and then turn around and do another. But understand who the sock puppets really are. Understand who the deep state is. They're not the primary players. They're the actors. They're the ones carrying out their roles. The deep state remains behind them, still, and will until the people of this world can actually identify where the problems are coming from and eliminate those problems. By the way, thank you, Miss K., for sending this over to me. Mika Brzezinski, in a YouTube video, states control exactly what people think. That is our job. By the way, her and Joe Scarsborough are engaged. Wow. Thank you. So it's becoming known who's running the show, who's providing the information, or who the gatekeepers are in this very country. I've been saying this, and I will repeat it again. The reason why this network existed from day one, and I have never backtracked, I have never succumbed as tough as it has gotten, I have never sold out, or never will. Because we've got a problem, and even some in the mainstream media recognize what the problem is, but will not speak about it. Will not. And these are the great vanguards of liberty and freedom. While all around, we sit and watch the operatives take chunk after chunk after chunk out of this country. I will not capitulate. I will not sell my soul. I will not make a deal. Which one do I want to run next here? Let me take a quick look. And even within RT, you're getting a spin message. They don't control everybody. This might be of particular interest to you. President Duterte warns George Soros, there is a bounty on your head. I think I can play this off the other screen. Okay. Let me do this, and then we'll get the black reaction to all the drugs and the inner cities and all of the destruction here in America. It's been drugs, folks. The war on drugs, while they're all the while making the channels possible to make sure that those drugs keep flowing into this country, to cause the splits and divisions and the death and the angst and everything else. I'm just so fed up. And again, I will say this on air. Those of you within the agencies within the United States, the time is to come out now. Now. Help us. For God's sakes, help us. If enough of you come out, you don't have to get together in meetings someplace so you can be discovered. You know enough. Walk out of the shadows. Speak truth in the light of day. Please, for God's sakes. It's about a 5 minute, 17 second clip. And this is Duarte warning George Soros, which our own intelligence agencies are allowing this guy carte blanche in this country for splits and division, funding the other side. Yet they remain silent. They do nothing.
President Duterte warns George Soros, there is a bounty on your head. George Soros canceled a proposed humanitarian visit to the Philippines after President Duterte warned him, there is a bounty on your head in these islands. Soros is a strong candidate for Southeast Asia's most unpopular man after being widely blamed for crashing the Thai and Malaysian economies in 1997 and sparking the Asian financial crisis through ruthless currency speculation. President Duterte hasn't forgiven the globalist financier. The man dubbed Duterte Harry by the Filipino people is also wise to the Soros agenda of divide and conquer and his brand of media manipulation. The Philippine House of Representatives approved a proposal last week to reinstate the death penalty. And the president took the opportunity to fire a warning at George Soros. There is a special place in hell for you, idiot. Set one foot in this country, and my duty is to make you go straight there. Duterte and Soros have been locked in a war of words for years, with the Philippine president accusing Soros of destabilizing Asian democracies and financial editorial hit pieces against him and his country in media outlets around the world. Critics around the world, including in the U.S. and in Soros' homeland of Hungary, say the liberal billionaire disguises himself as a, quote, humanitarian, while causing chaos and manipulating the political landscape. Duterte homed in on Human Rights Watch, which he said was attacking him to justify a $100 million 10-year grant globalist George Soros promised it 6 years ago. This Human Rights Watch of New York that belongs to Soros, Soros was the financier, that's him, it's his grant, he said. They have funding money they will really attack to justify. They chose me. They're pounding on me. That is fine. Editorials every day. I can swallow that. Corporate media hit pieces may have influenced international opinion of Duterte, but in his own country, he is revered. He boasts a massive 83% popular vote rating across the land. President Duterte rode into power campaigning on a ticket of major change, but unlike Western politicians who pay lip service to change before letting down their supporters, the Philippines president has delivered on his promises in spades. During the election campaign, Duterte urged the people to kill him if he failed to resolve crime and corruption in the country during the first 6 months of his term. over 1 year into his term, and he has delivered on his promises. He's now famous for more than calling President Obama a son of a whore at a regional summit in Laos last year. Much to the Soros-influenced international community's outrage, Duterte Harry is shooting from the hip and cleaning up his country. How does Duterte get away with taking on the rich and the powerful, installing law and order, and going against the globalist agenda of chaos and destruction? The corporate media has no power over him. George Soros and corrupt oligarchs cannot use the mainstream media to destroy him because the people don't trust what the media say anymore. The people trust Duterte because, unlike generations of politicians who came before him, he actually does what he says. His anti-globalist policies enrage the powers that be in the West, who have waged war against him through their propaganda channels and the media. But his policies have improved the lives of citizens of the Philippines who were suffering in a chaotic, lawless land under the corrupt regime for decades. Whose judgment should we trust? The global cabal or his own people? Well, I trust his own people. And I'm so happy that he attacked George Soros. George Soros planning a humanitarian visit. Get the hell out of here. Let us know what you think in the comments below, and thank you so much for watching.
They screwed up, folks. They screwed up. While the controllers think that they control all avenues in public opinion, and in many regards they still do, there are people that will not lay down. I won't. The internet is still a tool, and you're seeing the move of the globalists and their henchmen trying to control everything now that is on the internet, and doing it through what? Oh, it's hate speech. No, it's those that hate the truth. And that is the truth. I want to play one other clip here. And thank you for no interrupt us here in the internet. If I can find a clip here real quick. And this was... As I said earlier, I've had a select group of people coming after me. And when I say coming after me, it's just gibberish. They'll email all the hosts on this network. When you try to email them back, it's a do not reply. And a lot of it is flavored with what I call the Jesus goo. There's a lot of people that hide under that. And this is not a knock against God. I had one woman today call into the office. Julie relayed this to me. That how can you have an atheist on this network like Michael Rivera? How can you do that? And I looked at her and I said, you know, I've said this and I will say this again. There are tribes out there, or people that claim to be of a certain belief, that they are more in judgment than anything else. And if you really are a Christian, you know who's in there for the final arbiter of banging that hammer. It's not you. It's not me. It's God himself. So you want to step in on that role? You want to make me be an agent of yours for, what is the best way to put this? I've got to act a certain way or say certain things. That's my pass key to your club, to your tribe, and if I don't, you run against me. I'm not falling for that trap. And I got news for you about Mr. Rivero being an atheist. He's not. closer to agnostic, maybe. But again, I will not leave myself open for those of the country club set that want me to say and to act a certain way, otherwise I will be disincluded. This information is for everybody. I am not the arbiter of your soul. If you have no conscience, if you have no heart, don't look for it here, because I am not the gift giver. That's got to come out of your own soul, your own heart, and your own intelligence. I will not be waylaid. I will continue with the truth. Mike, I cannot find that email. And this was the black guy, I think he was out of Houston, that gave a talk on CIA and running drugs in this country. If I can find it in the next couple of minutes, we will have time. Oh, here's one for you. You are very wrong. You just went through the real situation in Russia. China is similarly maligned, and you're just parroting mainstream news nonsense. The thing about borrowing is what you spend it on. If growth dips 8% to say 7.5%, it's calamity, blah, blah, blah. Hope one day you wake up. Really? No, I am awake. I am awake. And I am not going to mention your name, because hopefully one day you will finally wake up. It takes a long time to purge yourself of the propaganda that has made your opinion. Keep at it. For God's sakes, keep at it. Have you found that clip, Mike? Okay. Well, let me. That would be helpful, wouldn't it? I know who he is, but I can't remember his name.
What does he do?
He's a black dude that just does video presentations on YouTube. Yeah. And let me see if I can pull this one up real quick here. Covert War Tactics, what's the guy's name? Covert War Tactics Against Blacks. I need to see a face. No, that's not the one. It's basically him there giving a presentation, at any rate. If I can come up with it, I will.
Exactly. That's it.
And this is a clip, thank you, Mika Brzezinski. Gosh, I don't know how I missed this. I'm not all-knowing and all-seeing, folks. I'm not your magic pyramid third eye. But this is Mika and Joe Scarsborough on MSNBC. Basically, hey, it's our job to control exactly what people think.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly what I hear. What Yamiche just said is what I hear from all the Trump supporters that I talk to who were Trump voters and are still Trump supporters. They go, yeah, you guys are going crazy. He's doing, what are you so surprised about? He's doing exactly what he said he's going to do.
Well, and I think that the dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah, if you look at the issue.
It's our job to control what you think. And Donald Trump, as much as it's been a blessing, it's also been a curse for him. I would urge Mr. Trump to go public. Because the deep state actors or operatives are not going to allow you to get too close to them. And you need to take this appeal and the truth right directly to the American people. And I know that's dangerous. I know that's dangerous. But you know, it is the office of the presidency of the United States. The people did vote for you. And they voted on what you said that you were going to do. Now, is it true that Donald Trump, every time he tries to do something, the courts aren't with him? Look at the position that the Fifth Circuit has taken on Donald Trump. Because he wanted to do vetting. Because he wants to expel illegals. And what are you hearing? You're hearing the claptrap of humanitarianism. We can't do this. That we're all humans in this world. Yeah, well, the people that you represent don't give a damn about you. They're just using you and your voice. And one day you'll be crushed like everything else. Mike, I'm going to take a minute here. I put that phone down. I'm sorry, I don't have... Tell the caller, whoever you're... Just put them on hold. I'm sorry? That's not him. I can tell you that much. It's not him. Okay, well, let me go back to the YouTube here and see if I can come up with it.
Mr. President, it's an honor.
Not you. Be quiet. You've already had your go. All right. In light of that, I've got just enough time. I wanted to include this as well, but here is Putin telling everybody who exactly created ISIS. That's why he's selling the arms to Duterte right now. The United States says, we're not going to send you any arms. The U.S. intelligence agencies are the ones that are planning the ISIS in the southern part of his country, and they're not going to sell them weapons to him to kill him. Here's President Putin telling everybody who exactly created ISIS. Mike, you ready?
Первое. Я не говорил, что США представляют для нас угрозу. Вот президент Обама, как вы сказали, считает Россию угрозой.
President Obama, as you said, views Russia as a threat, but I don't feel the same way about the U.S. I have to translate here, folks, sorry. What I feel is that the politics of those in the circle of power, and if I may use those terms, bring it down just a little bit more, Mike. The politics of those in power in the U.S. is erroneous. It is not only contradicts our national interest, it undermines any trust that we had in the United States. And in that way, it actually harms the United States as well. Undermine trust with the understanding that they are the one of the global leaders in politics and matters of the economy. I can stay silent on many things. But as always say, and Dominic here has just mentioned it, sorry I didn't get his comment, one-sided actions in the continuous search for the next alliance and coalitions, which are predetermined. This is not a method that seeks to discuss and agree mutual grounds of understanding. These are the one-sided actions. They are carried out all the time. They lead to crises. As I've said before, another threat that President Obama mentioned was ISIS. Well, who on earth armed them? Who armed the Syrians that were fighting the Assad government? Who created the necessary political information climate that facilitated this situation? Who pushed the delivery of arms to the area? Do you really not understand as to who is fighting in Syria? They are mercenaries, mostly. Do you understand they are paid money? Mercenaries fight for whichever side pays more. So they arm them and pay them a certain amount. I even know that what these amounts are. So they fight. They have the arms. You can't get them. They discover elsewhere, pays a little bit more, so they go and fight there. Then they occupy the oil fields. Wherever in Iraq, in Syria, they start extracting the oil, and this oil is purchased by somebody. Where are the sanctions on the parties purchasing this oil? Do you believe the U.S. does not know who's buying? It's not their allies they are buying oil from ISIS. Do you not think the U.S. has the power to influence those allies? Or who at the point indeed do not... Let me back up here. I don't want to miss this. Do you not think the U.S. has the power to influence... Or the point that they indeed do not want to influence them? Then why bomb ISIS in areas where they started extracting oil and paying mercenaries more? In those areas, the rebels from civilized Syrian opposition forces immediately joined ISIS because they are paid more. I consider this absolutely unprofessional politics. It is not grounded on facts in the real world. We must support civilized democratic opposition in Syria. So you support, arm them, and then tomorrow they join ISIS. Can they not think a step ahead? We don't stand for this kind of politics of the U.S. We consider it to be wrong. It harms all parties, including you, meaning the USA. When it comes to the consideration of our national interest, I would really like it if people like you, the U.S. journalists who pose the questions, would one day head your government. Maybe by then we can somehow reverse the situation. It doesn't happen. At least I ask you to deliver to the President of the United States, the Vice President, and all relevant people. Tell them that we do not want or look for any confrontation whatsoever. When you start to consider our national interest in your actions, any other disagreements we may have, they will be self-evident. This needs to be done, not just talked about. You must consider the interests of others, and you must respect other people. You cannot squeeze others having considered only the benefit that you require from whatever in economics, in your military activities, and everything. Look at Iraq. The situation is terrible. Look at Libya and what you did there, and that you got the ambassador murdered. Who did this? You even had a Security Council decision to establish a no-fly zone. What for? Gaddafi's Air Force couldn't fly over and bomb the rebels? This wasn't the smartest decision. But okay. Why did you proceed to do it yourselves? You started bombing the territory. This is clear contravention of the Security Council, even outright aggression over a state. Was it us that did this? You did this with your bare hands, and it ended with the murder of your ambassador. Who's at fault? It's your fault. Wow. There's a little bit more to this, but we are flat out of time. I appreciate you allowing me to do this program. We will continue to pull back the layers of this onion, folks, to let you know exactly who are the mercenaries of death. The one thing that I can pretty much see that every country agrees on, and the people are starting to get it, to pull the plug on the people that have brought you all of this and had the money and the power and the influence to do it, the bankers, and we know who they are. I thank you very much for being here today. Back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Thanks, Herb. I appreciate the tip.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.